blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 55, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he leads me, he feeds me, and with plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me, and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55. Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in 1 Corinthians 15, the first 34 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 34. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel in which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now, if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, thou who fillest thy church with thy Spirit, and it is so necessary day by day again, wilt thou fill us therewith in this afternoon hour, in the preaching of thy word and in the hearing thereof, that we also may be led and instructed by that same Spirit that did instruct thy servants so many years ago, so that that true wisdom which we may read has come out of their mouth from thee may also be bestowed upon us, that we may be given to instruct out of thy truth, and that the blessing which may come upon the proclamation of thy truth, of thy word over the length and the breadth of this world, may be the blessing also that may be wrought amongst us and our children here in our own congregation, that we may not stand without on that great day of days, but then it is necessary to be included while we are still in this life, that we might not be ignorant of the experience of thy true church, and that the knowledge of that new birth may be known among us, that the fruits of that birth may be evident among us, among young and old, a true turning away from all of our iniquity, a turning unto the true and the living God, a coming with weeping and with supplications, a humbling of ourselves in the dust before thee, and a desire and a need for a Savior and a Redeemer for our poor soul, without which we will perish everlastingly. Lord, that Thou may so work among us, that also those matters that have been known and revealed to Thy church through all the ages, maybe those matters that may be experienced by us and by our children day by day, and that we also, upon whom the ends of the world are come, and may be partakers of that heavenly hope, that we also may be enabled to stand before Thee when that day comes that the trumpet will sound, and that Thou wilt appear upon the clouds, and when every eye shall see Thee, also we and our dear children, whether we be alive or lying in the graves, then it shall indeed be that we shall arise again, and we shall appear together before Thy great judgment seat. And then, Lord, what shall stand in that day but that which Thou hast cleansed and washed in and through the precious all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son? Then there is not one that shall appear before Thee and be able to stand in his own right, with his own righteousness, with his own works, with all his own good intentions, with all of his own motives, because then written upon it all is sin, iniquity, death, and condemnation. For we have fallen on our father Adam, and we need eyes to see it and a heart to believe it, in order that we may seek and find Thee while it is still a day of grace. Oh, look then upon us in Thy mercy, and wilt Thou give that these matters may be bound upon our souls, that we may not be enabled to let Thee go, except that Thou would bless us with our dear children, and that Thy name may become for us all and in all, that the glory of Thee and of Thy name may be foremost within our heart and life, that we may practice that life of true self-denial in the midst of one another and before Thy holy countenance, that Thy law may be the rule of our walk here below, that we may indeed learn to love Thee and one another, that the welfare of the souls of one another may also be bound upon our hearts, that we may not be enabled to let one another go either, as we go carelessly walking over this world, as if there is no end to our life, and as if there is no great eternity approaching, and as if we are not fallen in our father Adam and running headlong to our own destruction. Oh, that the concern may be felt and known among us, that we may also cry out to one another, that we would not perish eternally. Lord, that Thou may look upon us then when Thy word is preached and read continually, that it may bring forth fruit unto Thee, and that it may be for the salvation of young and old together, and that Thy children also may be instructed in those things that are so necessary for their comfort in this life, a life wherein they must experience a wilderness journey, a life wherein the disappointments will increase because of their own self, and wherein all the false foundations shall have to be ripped out from underneath their feet. Lord, that Thou may uphold in all the ways wherein Thou leadest them here below, that the instruction of Thy Spirit, and may it lead them from step to step unto Zion, And that also among us the mouths of thy true church may from time to time be opened, that that wisdom that may be from above may also be heard upon the lips of thy church here below, and that we may be instructed, each one of us, before that it is forever too late. Look thou upon us in all the needs and the cares of this life, the children when there is no more school, that thou may watch over and protect them, each one in their place in this world, from all danger and harm. Wilt thou look upon those that have received surgeries, also that young girl from our sister congregation. Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place, and that thou may remember her in her affliction and supply for her in the need that is to come. And wilt thou give instruction unto our children and young people, that also their life in the days of their youth that is so fragile, and that there is but one step between us and death. Lord, that thou may look then upon us each and every one in all the cares of this world, as fathers and mothers also, of our families and all our responsibilities that lie upon us, that thou may give us diligence and faithfulness in all the ways of the upbringing of our children, that we may receive wisdom also from thee to know how to deal with them, and that thou may bless and sanctify our feeble efforts and forgive all of our many shortcomings. That thou may look also upon our government and all that rule and reign over us in this world. Lord, that thou may give wisdom also from above, that thou may give a turning unto thy word and to thy testimonies, that the eyes may go open, and that man may feel his great responsibility as he rules over his fellow man, and that he may do it in accordance with thy holy will. And that thou may so bring us back again from that way that we have chosen, which is so contrary to thee and to thy commandments. Look upon the unborn in this country, so many children in the womb, and that will soon meet with their death at the hands of murderers. Lord, that thou may look upon them also in thy mercy. And wilt thou thyself rectify what we have done and continue to do? And wilt thou keep us from destroying ourselves as a nation and as a people? That thou may give that thy Sabbath day once again in our land and may no longer be desecrated. That we also with our children might learn to keep thy Sabbath day holy, not thinking our own thoughts and speaking our own words and doing our own deeds, but in meditation and in seeking and searching in thy holy word, that thou may look upon all that are in warfare, all that have famine in this world, all those that are in distress, all those that are in the midst of abusive situations, all those that know not how to deliver themselves from their circumstances, that they may be given a cry to the true and to the living God, and that thou may hear their cry, and that thou may help the needy, each one in their place. Remember us once again in this afternoon. Him that labors in the other part of our congregation, wilt thou remember and strengthen him also, and give them a good day in the midst of that little flock, and that thou may look upon us also in this afternoon. Lord, open thy word unto us, and wilt thou give us freedom and liberty, honesty,
and that thy Spirit may bless and sanctify thy truth. That is that upon which we wait and hope. That is our only expectation. We ask it then in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 275, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. Thou, enthroned above the skies, wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, for the promised time is near. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 275, stanzas 1, 3, and 4.
congregation, Paul writes that the first man is of the earth, earthy. That is, as the creature of God. But the second man, he says, is from heaven. What a great difference to be of the earth or from heaven. We are so carnal, we can hardly think upon those things that are heavenly. Then so soon again the things that are of this earth are once again taking over all of our thoughts. Then we feel continually the truth of the words of Paul that we are of the earth, earthy. There is coming another time. There is coming for each of us another state. Boston speaks about the fourfold state. That is a book to our advantage to read. First of the state of innocence, that is the state in which man was before his fall. Then we have the state of nature, that is the state in which man has become after the fall. He speaks about the state of grace, wherein a man comes by the new birth. And finally, he speaks about the eternal state. It was known by our first parents what that state of innocence was. That is not known to us. It is known to every man what that state of nature is. It is not known to everyone what that state of grace will be. But everyone will know what that eternal state is. That is, man, each one is going to a long home. We cannot compare the time to eternity. What comparison shall we begin to draw? We have heard it in our youth, a minister, children, that has spoken about the sand upon the seashore and a bird coming to take away one grain of sand at a time. When that little bird would do this only once a year, then when all that sand is gone, then eternity will only have just begun. Then you feel how impossible that it is for us to receive a right impression when we are so of the earth, earthy, a right impression of that to which we are traveling, every one of us. And yet God's word speaks of it, and our fathers instruct us in it out of Lord's Day 22. And this we wish to consider together in question 57 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 22, question 57. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? Answer, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head,
but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. So far our Lord's Day. The comforting doctrine concerning the soul and body after this life. First, the immortality of the soul. Second, the resurrection of the body. Third, the comfort contained in these. The comforting doctrine concerning the soul and body after this life. First, the immortality of the soul. Second, the resurrection of the body. And third, the comfort contained in these doctrines. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head. Thus, our instructors, they first begin with our soul. Thus, that is in the order of time. They speak about first the death of our body. We will not all die. Children, you know that Enoch has not died. He was translated. He was taken up. Read the same about the servant of the Lord. Do you know who that is? That was taken up in that chariot of fire. He also did not die. That is God's servant Elijah. And we know that there will be many others that will never die. Who shall they be? That shall be a great multitude of people that are alive upon this world when that final trumpet sounds. Thus, a great, great multitude of people in this world shall never taste of death. For the rest, we shall all die. That is, for the most part, for us, a very frightening thought. Why? Because we were not created to die. Because we feel something of the fact that it is very unnatural for us to die. That is not taught by everyone. There are those that teach that death is not the result of sin, but that death is the way that man was created, that when he was created, that he would also have died even when he had not sinned. That is not what we read in the Word of God. But we read that the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That means that death is a punishment. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That death, the death that is a punishment, is a threefold death. Temporal death. That is the natural death of our body, the spiritual death which has taken place immediately upon the fall of man, and eternal death. Naturally, when death that is a punishment for sin, then man is naturally afraid to die. And what is that death that our fathers are speaking about here in this Lord's Day? That is not the spiritual death or the eternal death, but our fathers are speaking about the natural death, the temporal death of man. Death, congregation, is an awful thing. feared, fought against by every one of us. So Satan spoke the truth when he said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Thus we see that man is fighting in order to remain alive in this world. But that is a battle that he shall never win. No man, says Solomon, hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. And there is nothing that we can use that can fight against that certain death that is coming. How helpless that we are often standing around our loved ones. And when that end of life is there, and when all the physicians and all the technology and all the love and all the care in this world is not able to prevent that which we see is taking place. Thus we cannot hold on to our loved ones. And we cannot hold on to our own soul. Now we read that when the Lord with rebukes rebuke him for his iniquity, then the Lord is making his beauty to consume away like a moth. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? There is no end to the blessings and the comforts that are for the church of God in this life. No end to them. Because the death of the Son of God that has opened for the church a wealth of great blessings and riches. They are not only things that shall be experienced here in this life, but they have also to do with his death. What did we read together? If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. Thus our fathers speak about comforts. Comforts within this life, concerning death, and one of those comforts being the resurrection from the dead. Does that not, congregation, have to do with every one of us? Because who is here that would not with us fear death? And now our fathers are speaking about something which is comforting unto man in consideration of that awful fear. Satan, of course, is trying to take the fears of God's church away. He tries to take the truth of the Lord and turn that truth into a lie. The Sadducees, the Epicureans, denied the immortality of the soul. They denied the resurrection of the body. And we have read together how that Paul so ably refutes them. The atheist in the world, he says, dead is dead. That we are, and when we die, the same as the creatures in this world that have no soul. Our fathers declaring it is in them more a wish than actually a belief. Because man naturally does not want to appear before God in the judgment. The soul of man is a spirit. And a spirit cannot die. The devils can be cast into hell, but they cannot cease to exist. The Lord Jesus says to fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. A soul is immaterial. That is, it is not made out of substance, like our bodies are made out of substance. And therefore, that soul is such a simple being that it is not able to be divided. It is something that is not subject to corruption. And the soul itself that has in itself an innate desire for immortality. Because so it was created. Created by the Lord with a purpose. And that is to live. And that is to live forever. Even the heathen philosopher Plato has spoken about the immortality of the soul and the existence of a judge of all the earth. Thus, man in his denial, also in a practical denial, a practical atheism, then within his own heart, that innate knowledge is speaking to say that indeed God exists. The Socinians, the Mennonites, they speak about a soul sleep. That the soul that is just sleeping until that day of judgment, the same as it appears that the body is sleeping. And as we speak sometimes about a person falling asleep. So they say that that soul of man is also sleeping until that great day. But when the Lord Jesus spoke about Lazarus and the rich man, then we do not read that he is speaking about their souls sleeping. Rome talks about a purgatory. The soul has to be purged from its venial sins, so it needs to be purged from its sins which are not mortal. That is what they call light sins, little sins. Then the soul needs to be purged of these, and thus that soul can be made fit for heaven in purgatory. But what did the Lord Jesus say to the thief? He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We read of Judas, he went unto his place. Others speak about the transmigration of the soul. So the soul going from one creature into another form of creature. And this we read nothing of in the Word of God. Thus, we hear in our world so many errors, but that truth that is plain in God's Word and our fathers teach it, that the soul that is going immediately unto its final place, that is according to the Scripture, Solomon says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Thus, the soul does not die, the soul does not sleep, but the soul is returning unto God who gave it. The Lord Jesus also testified of the immortality of the soul of man. Then he spoke about God being the God, not of the dead, but the God of the living. Of whom did he speak? He said, He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead. Yes, dead in their body. No, he says, they live. That is, their souls live. Because God is not the God only of a dead body, but God is a God of the living. What an impression sometimes is living in the soul of a concerned person. Maybe you have experienced the same as you go over this world, and when you must meditate on the seriousness of your life. Do you ever do that, young people? Do you ever do that? We are sure that sometimes there are thoughts, at least, that come into your mind concerning the truth of that holy word of God and concerning your own destiny. And then sometimes maybe that comes up in your own thoughts. Or if you were only like the birds and the dogs and the cats and all the animals in this world, that you had no soul, and that when you died, then everything did come to an end. It is not so. And the fact that you have been created with a soul means that you have been created so high over those animals. But it also means that you have fallen to such a low place when your heart that is jealous of the animals that have no soul. Death. Death that is separation. Death of our body will be a great separation between two most intimate friends, that is, our body and our soul. In our creation, God breathed that soul into man that is taking place in the life of every person already in the womb. That soul that is breathed into man by the Lord, and that soul and that body, they will stay united together until the day of their death. And where does that soul return? At the day of death, we read unto God. That is, for judgment. That is, immediately. Not for the general judgment, but for the personal judgment. My soul, after this life, shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head. And then what happens with the body? We see that in our second thought. The resurrection of the body. What happens to the body? It is possible that so many things happen to the body. It is perhaps sawn asunder. It is perhaps slain by the sword. It is perhaps burnt at the stake. It is perhaps fed to the animals. It is perhaps thrown into the sea. It is perhaps cremated and strewn upon the waters. Or it is buried. By whatever means, that body that is returning unto the dust. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So it has been happening. From the death of Abel, that first one, even unto this day. To Today, there are many that cremate the bodies of their loved ones for different reasons, and it is congregation, something with which we do not agree. Why not? Because the scriptures teach the care also of the body of man after that he has died. And wherefore, because man is looking forward unto that day of the resurrection from the dead. Thus, in general at least, we ought to oppose such cremation. It is often done out of rebellion, against the truth of the resurrection of the dead. We understand that there can be sometimes some circumstances which have made it necessary in this world. Then we are not to be discouraged, because the Lord also is almighty. What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. The Lord will raise up the same bodies for that life eternal. He is not going to create a new body. The resurrection, that is not a new creation. No, it is a resurrection from the dead. Thus, what is now necessary for the raising up of that same body with which you and I lived upon the earth, that death has dissolved? What is necessary for that resurrection? In the first place, all the particles of that body need to be preserved. Whether they have returned unto the dust, whether they have been eaten by the animals, whether they have been burned, whether they have been strewn upon the waters, all the particles of our bodies, they need to be preserved. In the second place, the soul needs to be preserved, that it may be reunited again with the body. Then, that same body needs to be reformed, that it may be once again a fit habitation for the soul to all eternity. Finally, that reformed body and that soul that needs to be reunited again, so that a new life is given to that whole being of man. Say, miraculous. Yes, indeed, it is a miracle. Yes, indeed, it will take the almighty power of God to raise our body and reunite it once again with our soul. Is it any wonder that the carnal and the unbelieving man in this world is ready to deny the resurrection of the dead? It is not for our natural mind to understand, but it is for faith to believe. And that there will be such a general resurrection, that is clear from the Word of God. Because the Sadducees did not believe it, what did the Lord Jesus say to them? Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Thus, unbelief in that resurrection of the dead is unbelief in the power of God. Is it not a wonder that the Lord bears so long with such an unbelieving people in the power of God? Because many mock at the resurrection of the dead. But God will not be mocked. Their day is coming. Daniel says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Marvel not at this, the Lord Jesus says, for the hour is coming in which all in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The apostle speaks of the resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Young people, we mentioned this in this morning. Something of that league with the inhabitants of this land. The inhabitants of this land that are not ready to believe what is written in the Word of God for the sake of that truth, especially when they are not able to comprehend it, to understand it. And this, our understanding, is not the thing which tells the truth or the falsehood of a matter. Man is ignorant. And there are many things that man does not understand and still we know are true. It is certainly not against reason. Why not? Because God is almighty. If God was able to create everything out of nothing, then it is less for him to watch over all those particles and to bring them back once again. Our instructors speak about being raised by the power of Christ. That is an almighty power. That is a miraculous power. He showed that already in this world. When he has raised men from the dead. Thus certainly, it is not against the reason of man. We have also the proof of it in the covenant of grace. What does the Lord say? He says, ye shall be my people. Thus, that is the whole person, both soul and body, that is belonging unto God. Ye shall be my people. We see what he has done already in this world, cared not only for their souls, but also for their bodies. When he has multiplied the loaves, when he has cured the sick, when he has raised the dead. And so he is going to have a seed that is going to serve him forever and forever. Therefore, there is great comfort. There is great comfort in these doctrines of the immortality of the soul and the resurrection of our body. But let us sing first. Psalter 29. 2 and 3. I keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved. At my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. My heart is glad and blessed. My soul its joy shall tell. And lo, my flesh in hope shall rest, and still in safety dwell. 2 and 3 of Psalter 29.
What comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up unto Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. This is the comfort that our fathers have spoken of concerning this blessed doctrine. Congregation, now we may ask ourselves, do we have such a comfort? Do we know also that same comfort that our fathers knew? That when they went through all the troubles of this world, and when there was so much to discourage them, that they had this comfort and this hope and this expectation as they were traveling to the end of their life? Oh, this comfort. This comfort that is not only in life, but this comfort that is and concerns our death and our future, our eternal future that will be forever and forever. This comfort has a foundation. It has a basis. It has something whereupon it is standing. And what is that foundation? Our fathers speak of it, that my soul shall immediately be taken up unto Christ its head. Thus, it is a comfort that is based in the assurance, in the knowledge of our ingrafting into the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of this, we cannot say that Christ is our head. Thus, how necessary, if we will receive this comfort, that we will know in our life this further step of grace, that we may come to know in our life and that Christ is also my head. Young people, do you ever feel how that you are so without comfort in this life? So without comfort in this world? Because when you read that word of God, and you say, what is there now in that word of God that is for me comfortable? Then you have to say that I am standing on the outside of that kingdom of heaven. That I am standing on the outside of the great privilege of that true church of God. Then indeed, we hope you feel something of discomfort. Because that is a serious matter. To be traveling over this world, that Christ is not our head. Indeed, for the concerned church in this world, there is a certain comfort. There is a comfort in the tokens that they may receive out of the hand of the Lord. There is a comfort in the experience, in the pouring out of the love of God in their life. But those comforts for that concerned church, they are comforts that are so often short-lived. The greatest comforts in the life and in the death of God's church, they are belonging unto that established
church in the knowledge of salvation, and therefore, what a knowledge to be seeking after. And yet there are moments, even when the smallest ones in that life of grace may taste something of those comforts in the true exercises of faith. Comfort. That is what our fathers are speaking of in this book of comfort. What is thine only comfort in life, but now also what is thy comfort in death? Thus, there is comfort also in death. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Gain. Or are we also going to gain when we die? What was that gain that Paul was speaking about that he was going to experience in his death? The gain was going to be the putting away of all sin. That was the burden of the Apostle Paul. That was why he still mourned as he went over this world. O wretched man that I am, flesh, his flesh. That was for him a burden. An old man was for him a burden. He could find nothing good in it, only a wretched law in his members. But now death, oh blessed death, that will do away with this burden. O eternal gain for that people who mourn, and fight against sin, and in death may have it all taken away. These do not have to wait. They do not have to wait for the blessed communion. These do not have to wait for the immediate presence and favor of the Lord. But they shall be, as our fathers speak of, immediately joined unto Christ their head. Thus, there is comfort. There is comfort in the death of the saints, in the putting away of sin. There is comfort also, comfort in the resurrection of their body. What is that comfort? The comfort that is the reuniting of the soul and the body. There is going to be a reunion of these two most intimate friends. In death, these two have been ripped apart. But in their resurrection, these are going to be joined to one another again. Not only my soul, but also this my body. Oh, that same body, that has in a small beginning of obedience begun to serve the Lord again, that is going to be continued, but it is also going to be perfected. That same body with different circumstances, different characteristics, what do we read? Made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Thus, a body which is changed. And what is changed about this body? This body is now not a dying body, but it is an immortal body. That is how the body of Christ was different before his death and after his resurrection. It is a body in which there will be no more sin, not only, but there will be no more consequences of sin. There will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more infirmity, no more death. Is that not a comfort? A blessed comfort for that church in the putting away of sin and in the joining together once again of those two most intimate friends, my soul and my body. There is also a comfort in what is going to take place immediately after the resurrection of the body. What is that? That is the general judgment. A comfort. Why? Because it is going to be the public justification of that true church of God. There are some congregation who look for the court, and some who do not. They flee from that court. John says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light and cometh not to the light. Why not? Lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Only that conscience that is washed, that is cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb, only such a conscience will not fear to come into that judgment of God. Congregation, how will we do in that swelling of Jordan? Our fathers, they used an expression, "Oh, set death next to everything that you have experienced in your life." Coming before the judgment seat of God, can we stand? What will stand? A poor, a wretched sinner, worthy of being condemned forever, who has fled for refuge unto that Son of God. This is going to stand in that day of judgment and nothing else. We do not know, congregation, the day of that resurrection. We know it is near. But that day and that hour we read, no man knows. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years they are as one day. We know it is near. And then some men try to predict that it is coming, and children, young people, when this is done, then they know not God, and they know not His Word. And therefore you ought never to listen to such things, because of that hour even the Lord Jesus said in the state in which He was in this world, it was hidden from Him. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, watch. Why? Not because we know the day, but because we know it is certain. Because we know that it is certainly coming. We may be certain that that day that is fast approaching, that all that are in the graves, they shall hear His voice. Whether we shall die first and lay in the grave, or whether we shall be alive when that trumpet is going to sound, actually, it doesn't matter. We are together going to stand in that judgment, and it ought to be our meditation and our thought day by day. Because this life that is short, an eternity, congregation, that is so very long, and this life is all the time we have for preparation for that eternity. Every ache, every pain, every affliction that we feel in our body should be a reminder for us that there is coming a day when this body
that is going to be dissolved. We go to the funeral homes and we are passing the casket. What does it do for us? Callings multiplied. And what are we? Of the earth, earthy. What do we need? We need the Lord to bind it upon us. That is the only way. Oh, may the Lord Himself bind this matter upon our hearts, that we may seek Him and that we may find Him before that it is forever too late. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which shall endure to everlasting life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us, bind it upon our hearts, because indeed we are of the earth earthy and we are unbelieving. Because we cannot understand, we mock in our hearts. But thou wilt not be mocked. O grant us life in our souls. Grant us true repentance. Draw our hearts to fear thee and comfort thy people with the doctrines out of thy holy word, that they may not be known merely in the mind, but that it may be the experience of the heart. And when it is indeed with us as it was with thy servant, O wretched man that I am, then there will be times a desire that they may depart and be rid of this body of sin. That thou may remember them and all of us in the week to come. Help each one of us in the labors of our hands, whatever that they may be. Keep us from sinning against thee, a holy and a righteous and a good-doing God. And forgive our sins in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 139 stanzas 3 through 6. Our God shall surely come, nor silent shall he keep. Devouring fire shall herald him. About him storms shall sweep. 3 through 6 of Psalter 139.
He is the judge of
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.